In our readings today, one of the key themes that is expressed is having the eyes to see. Having the eyes to see. In that reading from Isaiah, it's important to understand the context in which Isaiah is writing. That by this time, the people of Israel, the people of Judah have been divided into two kingdoms. And the northern kingdom of Israel has joined into an alliance with Syria, and they want to take over Judah. So it's a time of incredible tension, and difficulty. And Isaiah is writing to Judah at this time. And he's wanting them to have the eyes to see that even in the midst of the crisis and the chaos, God is at work. And there is this call, this longing to look beyond the present circumstances to the true purpose and justice of God. But isn't this hard to do in a world like this? To be able to have the vision of Isaiah, to be able to live with that kind of perspective, to be able to, as our psalm says, to wait upon the Lord. To wait, and to continue to wait. For that is the fundamental theme of this Advent season. And in a sense, for the Christian, it's an understanding that this is the theme of our lives. Because God, we want to see. We want to see that you, Jesus Christ, are the Son of David. We want to see that in a world like this, it actually does make sense. But it's a cry of our heart. Because in a world like this, at times it just seems so senseless. It doesn't seem to fit together. And that's why we need pastors. That's why we need bishops like St. Nicholas. Do you know what Nicholas's name means? Nikki is the Greek word for victory. And laos is the Greek word for people. Laos is the root of the word laity. And so the name Nicholas means the victory of the people. And what Nicholas tried to do in his day, he died around the year 342 on this date, the 6th of December. But he tried to help people to see in a world that was run amok that God is here and we are to wait upon him. He was a young man during the time of the worst persecution that the church had ever experienced under the Emperor Diocletian. Nicholas was a man who had been arrested. He was tortured. But thankfully, he lived to see Constantine become emperor. And so under Constantine's rule, Christianity became legal. But here's the first point that I'm wanting to make. St. Nicholas helped the Christian community in a world that was opposed to her Lord and her message to stand firm. And so he helped people to see the Lord, even in the face of a megalomaniac and cruel man like Diocletian the emperor. But here's the second thing that Nicholas is known for. He was a man who loved the truth. He was a man who understood that Jesus Christ is true God and true man. And so we are thankful that he was at the Council of Nicaea in the year 325 AD. And it was at the Council of Nicaea that the creed that bears the name, the Nicene Creed, began to form its present shape. It would be another 125 years before the Nicene Creed reached its final form. But Nicholas, in light of the Arians, who were the dominant voice, and the Arians said that Jesus is not fully God, the Arians had a view of Jesus that's more like the Mormon understanding. And they were the dominant voice, but they did not win out. Because you see, Nicholas and people like St. Athanasius were able to help people to see that in a world like this, do not compromise who Jesus Christ is. He is true God and he is true man, and we can never forget that. So Nicholas was someone who in the face of great opposition from without was able to say Jesus is Lord. In the face of great opposition within the church, he was able to say, no, we have to hold to the Orthodox faith. And thirdly, St. Nicholas helped us to see that in a world like this, to be a Christian is to be a man and woman who is committed to a life of charity. Of course, the most famous story is told of how Nicholas heard of a man who had three daughters, that they were so poor that the daughters were going to be sold into prostitution. And so in turn, because Nicholas was born into a family where there was great wealth, although interestingly, he was orphaned as a boy, so he also experienced that reality, the loss of both of his parents at a young age, that he used some of this money in order to provide dowries for each of the three girls. And of course, it's from the tradition of St. Nicholas putting these gold coins into these girls' stockings that we today hang stockings at Christmas. So do you see the remarkable man that we are celebrating today? Do you see that, like Isaiah, he was able to look beyond the present circumstances of our world to help us to look up and to look with hope, to wait upon the one who is the true Lord? But let me end with this thought. It's so interesting how Jesus repeatedly says to people when he heals them, don't go and tell people about this, because people won't understand it. Allow it to touch your own heart, your own life, before you go spreading the news. But we're told in the gospel they didn't do that, because this is part of the issue in a world like this. We so often, in a sense, are more thankful for the gift than the giver. And what Jesus wants us to do is to say, yes, be thankful for the gift. But what I want you to be most thankful for is for me, because of who I am. And that is the great gift that the saints provide to us. They were able to see that it is Jesus, the true giver of the gift, who is most important. And so may we be inspired by the life of this man, whose name means the victory of the people. For he is indeed part of our family. He is one of our great ancestors, and one who can inspire us in the face of a world that is increasingly hostile to the faith, times within the church where there is great corruption and confusion, and in the world where we are called to be a charitable people, a people who, by our lives, are like Isaiah and invite people to look beyond what we see to the deeper reality of who God truly is. Saint Nicholas, pray for us.